Now, shall we turn together, please, the Word of God for our scripture reading tonight and invite you to turn with me, please, to a familiar portion in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm beginning to read at the verse 1. John chapter 6 and the verse 1. And we read, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. We'll end our reading there, verse 14, and we know God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Let's just bow together in a short word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all the many wonderful gifts that thou hast given to us. Thank thee for heaven's unspeakable gift, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation. And Father, we thank thee for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who inspired this sacred volume, who can interpret its truths to our hearts. And we pray now, Lord, that as we come to the preaching of thy word, that we might know the help and power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will take his own sword, the sword of the Spirit, and with power apply it to every heart. Lord, give us a teachable spirit. Lord, may we sit at the feet of Jesus. And Lord, may our prayer be, speak, for thy servant heareth. And Lord, should there be one in the meeting tonight, and they're here and they're not saved, that even tonight, Lord, that the drawing power of the cross will be felt. And Lord, that thou wouldst bring them savingly to Christ this evening. So Lord, be with us now and bless us and do us good and grant us help from heaven. Father, we ask these things in the Saviour's name and for his glory. Amen. First of all, I'd like to say a word of thanks to Reverend David Park for the opportunity of coming down once again to renew fellowship with you here in the service. Always an extra joy to come to Ballymoney and to have many happy memories down over the years with God's people here. Even in student days, going away out to that wee place in Kebra, could hardly tell you where it is today, but it's been good to see how the work of God has expanded and been blessed over the years. And it's nice to be here on a harvest occasion. Mr. Park was talking about all things bright and beautiful. I thought he was talking about himself, but turned out it was just part of the hymn. And it's always nice to come to a harvest service and to see so many beautiful decorations and vegetables and fruits and all the flower arrangements, and all come to us as part of God's goodness to us. And when I was a little boy, brought up in the city of Belfast in a little kitchen house, and we lived almost facing a little mission hall called the Emmanuel Mission. And it was the place actually where I was saved and came to know the Lord. But every year they had a harvest service, and it was always nice to see the harvest loaf. You know, the sheaf, I don't know whether there's one here, they're just not as popular today as they used to be, but it used to be that you never had a harvest service without having a harvest sheaf. And let me tell you something about it that you might not know. Do you ever wonder why, how they were able to make the harvest loaves and how they were able to cut out all the ears of corn and the wee mice? And everything was just so exact on the harvest loaf. Well, I'll let you into a secret. I served my time as a baker. And what they would do was that they would put in about 20 times the normal amount of salt. And the result was that the dough would remain exactly the same. Whatever shape you cut it, it wouldn't rise in the oven. And then also a chemical change took place, and it would give it, because there was too much salt, a nice foxy colour. And so this little mission hall, they always had this harvest loaf. And as I said, we were born near it. There was a family of nine. There was one girl, she was the eldest, and then there was eight boys. And after the harvest service, there was always give to us the harvest loaf. And we as boys thought it was great. And we would get this harvest loaf and pull it apart and really get stuck into it. And you know, it was absolutely rotten. It was foul. And we would eat this harvest loaf and we thought it was really something. I suppose, David, that's why I turned out to be the salt of the earth. I don't know. But I've always happy memories about the harvest occasion. And we should give thanks unto the Lord, as the Lord's servant said. You look out into the world and there's children dying tonight with starvation, malnutrition, and not a bite to set before them. And we're so blessed, and our God has provided in so many ways for us. Now, tonight as we come to the Word of God, I want to start with a very simple question. And the question is this: have you ever met someone who was really boring? I mean, really, really boring. And you said to yourself afterwards, well, they give a new meaning or a depth to the word boring. Never forget being out with the Reverend Fred Greenfield on one occasion for a cup of coffee. And we met this gentleman. And he was one of those men, I mean myself, a small parcel wrapped up in himself. And he did nothing but tell you how wonderful he was and what he was doing. And after he had finished and he went away, Brother Fred looked at me and with his usual sense of humor, he said to me, you know, it's a pity our brother couldn't suck as well as he could blow, for he would make a wonderful factum cleaner. And I never forgot that. But, you know, have you ever thought about this, that no one ever talked as much about himself as the Lord Jesus Christ? And you find this again and again in the Word of God when you study his 3.5 years public ministry, and especially in the Gospel of John, you have those magnificent, marvelous, great I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine, and so on. And the Lord was always talking and speaking about himself. And the wonderful thing is this, that nobody, and I mean nobody, ever got bored by listening to the Savior. And as a matter of fact, when you read in the Gospels, you'll discover that people gathered to hear him, and they spent 3 days without a bite to eat. And the Lord saw them and was moved with compassion, and he said to his disciples, "Give ye them to eat." And he performed another miracle similar to the one that we read about tonight. No one was ever bored by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, they hung on to every word, and they were able to say, "Never man spake like this man." And I want just to consider with you one or two simple lessons, and I'm going to be very brief tonight. I don't like stewed tea, David, and so I'm very conscious there's a supper, but I do want to draw your attention just to 5 simple lessons very quickly from this wonderful miracle. And I want you to notice, first of all, what I've called the testing. The testing. You see, if you look there, you will find in verse 5 that our attention is drawn to Philip, one of the apostles. And it says this: "But then, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." And here you have the testing. The Lord singles out Philip, and the Lord gives him a test. And he says, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And Philip gets out his mental calculator, and he begins to think. And he says, "Even if we had 200 penny worth of bread, a man's wages for a year, it wouldn't be sufficient to give any of them something a little to eat." And so Philip here makes a calculation, and he works it out in his mind, and he says, "We're not sufficient." But you know, the Bible says this he said to prove him. And what the Lord was doing was testing Philip's faith. You see, faith grows by being tested. And this is one of the reasons why the Lord permits trials and troubles to enter into our lives, that we might prove him in different situations and that we might learn to trust in him. You see, the problem with Philip was this. He was looking to the situation instead of the Savior. He was looking to the problem instead of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I was thinking of Currie Ten Boom. I was reading something of her life recently, and you know her story, how that her family were used during the days when the terrible Holocaust was taking place for to deliver and to save the lives of many Jews. And then a neighbor became an informer, and her two sisters and her father and mother ended up in a prison camp. And one day, Currie's sister, she wasn't well, and she had a very, very bad cold and these filthy conditions in a prison camp. And she turned to Currie and she said, "You know, I would give anything just to have a handkerchief." "Where were you going to get a handkerchief?" So just prayed and committed it to the Lord. And the next day, a lady who was in another part of the camp, segregated by barbed wire, came over to the fence and she handed her a little parcel. And when she opened it, she discovered it was a handkerchief. See, God is very exact in how he can supply our need. I think of Dr. Helen Rolesphere, young missionary doctor out in the Congo, following in the footsteps of C.T. Studd. And as she was in that hospital there was a little baby born, and it was premature, and the mother was there, and a little daughter was there by the side of the bed. And Dr. Helen said to her colored nurse that was with her, said, "You know, what this baby needs is an incubator. But where are you going to get one out here? No such a thing. But the next best thing would be a hot water bottle." And she said, "We're going to pray that the Lord will send us a hot water bottle." And so the nurse, her colleague, said to her, "Well, pray also that the Lord will send a dolly, a wee doll for this wee girl here."
And so they stood and they prayed, Lord, send a hot water bottle. Lord, send a little doll for this girl. And the next morning, a parcel arrived in the post. And what was in it? A hot water bottle and a doll. Does that not remind you of God's promise? Before ye call, I will answer. And maybe there's someone and you're going through a hard time and you're being tested. And the Lord is saying, look on to me. Get your eyes of the situation. Get your eyes upon the Savior. And you'll discover there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so you can see the testing. But then notice also here that we have what I've called the telling. Because another disciple comes into the story in verse 8. And it says, one of his disciples, Andrew's brother, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. And here Andrew steps forth, and he comes to the Lord, and out of that vast crowd of people, he says to the Lord Jesus, there is a lad here. And he tells the Lord about this little lad and his 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know, Andrew's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I don't read of him performing a miracle. You never hear, he didn't write any of the books of the New Testament like Simon Peter. But every time you meet Andrew, he's introducing somebody to the Savior. And you remember how when certain Greeks came to Jerusalem saying, sir, we would see Jesus, Andrew is there, and he's introducing him to the Savior. And it was Andrew who first found Simon Peter, his own brother. And he said, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. And the result was that Peter got saved. And what a man Peter became in his ministry for God. Oh, the telling. Just a lad, but was brought to Christ. And the result was this tremendous miracle took place as a result of the faithful effort of Andrew. And here's a word of encouragement for children's workers tonight, and you labor among boys and girls, and it can be difficult. Don't get discouraged. Don't get weary in well-doing. For let me tell you tonight, see a child saved. It's not only a soul saved, but it's a life saved to be invested in the years to come in the service of the Master. You know, the name of Edward Kimball wouldn't mean much to many people in the meeting tonight. Edward Kimball was a Bible class teacher in Chicago. He had a Bible class of boys, young teenagers, just stepping out in life. He took ill, and the doctor recommended him to move to another climate for the sake of his health. And he was burdened, and he was brokenhearted about his Sunday school class, his Bible class, and some of them weren't saved. And so he made his way across Chicago, went into a shoe shop, and he stood there till the last customer was served. And behind the counter was this young fella standing there, and he said, nice to see you, Mr. Kimball. What can I do for you? And he explained her that he was going to have to move because of his health. And he looked at the young man, and he said, Dwight, he says, you've been in my class, and I've sought to introduce you to Christ. And you're still not saved. And it breaks my heart that you don't know Christ. And as he sowed in tears, that young man, Dale Moody, was broken down. And he went behind a little counter or curtain that divided the shop. And Moody knelt down. And the rest is history. Said of Dale Moody that he took Great Britain with one hand, United States of America with the other hand. And he lifted both nations towards heaven as a result of the preaching of the gospel of Christ and revival blessing. How did it happen? There's a lad here, the telling. You keep at it. God only knows the potential of the life of that child that you win for Christ. And then notice quickly not only the testing and the telling, but notice the taking. You see, Andrew says, there's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? But I want you to notice verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and the latter part of the verse, and likewise of the fishes. And so you can see the taking. What this little fella had to do, unnamed, but yet was willing to surrender what he had, it says, Jesus took the loaves and the fishes. And that's a tremendous lesson to learn, that the Lord takes what we have to give. And it's not our ability that counts. God's got all the ability that he needs. It's our availability. And if we're willing to say, Lord, here am I, and surrender what we have to the Lord, then the Lord can take up our lives and use them for his honor and glory. Someone said to Hudson Taylor, what was the secret of your life? And he said, God was looking for someone small enough, and he found me. Tell me, are you small enough for God to take up? Have you got 5 loaves and 2 small fishes to surrender to the Lord? I remember when the Lord called me into service and to full-time work to go to Bible college. You know, I left school when I was 14, missed 2 years of school because we're playing Tig in Belfast with bricks, and a fella threw a brick, and I didn't get out of the road quick enough and clipped me in the hip. Perthius hip disease, then to hospital for several months and plaster of Paris from here down to my feet, and then was in a wheelchair for a long time, and then wore a steel splint with a boot. And over those months, I never darkened the door of a school. Oh, happy day, because I hated school from the day I went till the day I left. But you know, no education. And the Lord called me to go into the WAC. There was doctors, there was nurses, there were school teachers. And there was Stanley Barnes, no education. But I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, nail my hands with Calvary love to the plow. And help me, Lord, never to look back. Help me, Lord, to go through with God. And I look back, and I'm near eternity in the judgment seat of Christ than ever before. And I thank God for the day when God gave me grace to surrender my 5 loaves and 2 small fishes to him. And you be encouraged. Maybe God's calling you tonight, and you're afraid, and I'll not make it, and so on. If God called you, you'll be able to say our sufficiency is of God. And who God calls, he equips for his service. Do you remember Moses? I am not eloquent. Probably spoke with a stutter. And yet the Lord said, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. That's the first of the Lord give me the night I was accepted to be a student in the Theological Hall of the Free Church. And I want to tell you, God's faithful to his promises, and God keeps his word. Oh, the taking. The Lord was willing to take what this young boy had. But then, maybe this is stretching it a wee bit, but think of the tearing. What do you mean by the tearing? Well, watch what the Lord did with the loaves and the fishes. It says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down. Then look at verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And what the Lord did was he tore the loaves apart and the fishes, and miraculously, with hands of omnipotence, he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. But I want you to see this. It was broken bread and broken fish that the Lord used and gave to the disciples to distribute. And here's another great lesson in the Christian life. If you and I are going to be effective in God's service and used of him, we've got to learn about brokenness. We've got to learn about brokenness. And sad to say, that's something that's missing today in the lives of many ministers, many elders, many committee men, many Christians in the lives of Free Presbyterians. There's not that brokenness. There's an arrogance today. And there's a hardness and a judgmental spirit among many of God's dear people. And then we wonder why we don't see revival. God says of my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And the road to revival is a road of brokenness. And the road to success in the Christian life is that of brokenness, getting before the Lord with a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite spirit. I will not despise, O my God, said the psalmist. And we look for the blessing, and we forget that the road to the blessing is the road of brokenness. One great missionary I greatly admired and I knew him personally well and had tea in his home on different occasions, and that was Major Len Moles of the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade. He became the leader of WAC. And in his early days, he was a young man, he was an army major. God laid hold of him and he consecrated his life to the Lord and he became a missionary along with Jock Purvis, who wrote First Sunshine, that wonderful book on the Scottish Covenanters. And Len was very ambitious. He was used as an army major of giving orders and telling people what to do. And so he went to the mission field, and he was there a few months. Then the field leader came to him and he said, Len, we have a problem, and I would like to discuss it with you. Would you meet me early? And he picked out a designated place, alone up on a mountain there. And early in the morning, they rose up and they met for prayer. And Len was all excited. Think of it. Oh, the field leader has a problem. He's come to the right man. He's looking to me to resolve it. And the field leader, after the time of prayer, he said, now, Len, I want to talk to you about this problem. He said, what is it? He said, Len, the problem is you. Nobody can work with you. You dictate to everybody, and nobody has an opinion except it's your opinion. And he said, Len, you're the problem and the hindrance and the barrier in the work at this moment. And Len, you need to get yourself sorted out before God. And so they parted on the mountainside. Field leader went back down the mountain, and Len was left on his own. And I remember Len telling, and hard that he lay on the ground with tears sobbing like a child. And he laid on the ground, stretched out as if it was a cross. And he said, oh God, forgive me, forgive me. He said, Lord, I am now crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm dead from now on to Len Moles. No more of Len Moles, but Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, living and radiating through my life. And you know, Len from that went on to be the international leader of the WAC and a missionary statesman and a mighty man for God. Take time to tell you this. I was a student minister in Mount Marion. There was only a handful of churches at that time. We had to meet in Resharkin for a day of prayer. Now, I hardly knew where Resharkin was. I could hardly go beyond Belfast. And we met in Resharkin for a day of prayer, and I'll never forget it. I'll tell you why. Dr. Paisley was there, and only saw it the once, but he was lying actually on the ground, stretched out. He was sobbing, and he was pleading to God Almighty to rend the heavens and to come down and to visit this land and this denomination with revival blessing. And I can tell you there was power. And I've always admired Dr. Paisley as a preacher, but I admire him far more as a man of prayer, a man who was tall enough on his knees to reach heaven, and he could pray down the blessing of God upon the work. And as we joined with him in prayer in a spirit of brokenness, then God opened the windows of heaven, and he poured out a blessing mightily upon the free church. That was the secret of the blessing in the early days of the free church, with nothing but God and his promises and the throne of grace. And it was all that we needed. Oh, I would long for those days once again to come to the free church. But then I just want to close with this thought, and it's the transforming. Do you ever notice how the Lord transformed the whole situation here? Not sufficient, but there were more than sufficient. There was 12 baskets full left over. And what does that remind us? It reminds us that our Savior is the one who can transfix. He's the one who can reverse every situation in life. And he always did that. You remember in John's Gospel, they have no wine, fill the water pots with water, and he turned the water into wine. He reversed the situation. Do you remember there was a man lying in a sepulchre, and by this time he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. Corruption has set in. And the Lord stands at the mouth of the open sepulchre, and he cries, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound came forth hand and foot. And the Lord said, loose him and let him go. And he came forth in the power of resurrection life. And you remember again in the end of John's Gospel, and there's many incidences of this in the Gospel of John. And we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. And the Lord says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And we're not able to draw the nets to land. Do you know why the Lord reversed the situation? He's the Lord of reversal. He can change the situation. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You're maybe thinking of suicide. You're in the grip of drink, gambling, some other sin that I know nothing about. And tonight you're wondering, can God do anything for me? I want to tell you, he's the God of reversal. He can bring a change to your life. One of the best gospel missions we ever had was conducted by the Reverend Ivan Foster. I think there was something like 35 or something got saved in that mission in Hillsborough. And the most miraculous case of conversion happened after the service, and the man wasn't even in the meeting. We're just about to turn out the lights, and this figure of a man in a leather coat came across, and he came to the door, and he marched in, big, tall fella, rough-looking, mouth all scarred with hard-drinking spirits. And he smelt like a whiskey barrel. And he said, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. Well, you come to the right place. And Brother Ivan and I went into the room with him and knelt down, showed him the way of salvation. And with a stink of booze in his breath, he said, oh, God, save me. God, save me. God saved him. And he rose from his knees a new creature in Christ. And God worked in his family. And his wife got saved and his children got saved. And not only did she get that mother and family get a new father and husband, but they got a new home. Everything was changed. You know why? The Lord reversed the situation. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And maybe you're in the bottom rung tonight, and you're not looking at the bottom of the barrel, you're looking up at the bottom of the barrel, and things are so bleak and so dark. I want to tell you, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Will you come tonight if you're not saved? Maybe you've been at the mission and you've slipped in tonight. My witness, be the best harvest service ever if you came to know Jesus as your Savior. I trust tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, the Lord will save you. And if you're a child of God going through a difficult time, remember, man's extremity is God's opportunity, and the things that are impossible with man, hallelujah, are possible with our God. May God write his precious word upon our hearts. Thank you, David.